Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dipcon, Fiuggi, 19-22 marzo 2015. Vengono ora trasmessi in podcast gli estratti dei panel dalla convention di fantascienza.
È con grande piacere che abbiamo con noi un'attrice che tra l'altro per noi, per la Deep consegna anche il primo ospite di una serie che abbiamo amato molto tutti, Battlestar Galactica, per cui vi chiedo un grande applauso per Kate Vernon.
Okay, I'm going to sit down. Coming up here. Buonasera. I don't speak Italian, but I'm going to speak English with an Italian accent. So, yes? Ah, buono. Come state?
Bene.
Bene?
Fabulosa.
Okay, I'm gonna give that up now. So I am so pleased to be here in Italy, and I'm so grateful to Lolita and Flora for inviting me here to Fuji Deep Con, a con like no other, I have to say. I much prefer the intimacy of this con than Dragon Con or, you know, Comic Con or these giant, giant cons. This is really, really lovely. And Italy is one of my absolute favorite, I think it is my favorite country to holiday to. Many years ago, I came here to make a very special movie. I'm not sure we're going to be able to screen it tonight. I hope we can. And unfortunately, it will be in Russian. I don't know if any of you speak Russian. There may be Italian subtitles. It was with a beloved Italian star, Adriano Celentano. And it was one of the most expensive flops in Italian history. And if you look up on IMDb, IMDb is the International Movie Database, and it describes anything and everything that's ever been produced. It really doesn't talk about what the movie is about. It just talks about how expensive, 158 million lira, I think, to make them. It only grossed 158 million, but it cost 500 billion to make, or something like that. 18 billion lira, right. So it was a gigantic flop, and that ended my Italian movie career. I'm very sad. I wanted to be an Italian star. Anyway, and that was in 1992, and I think that was the last time I was here. So it's been a very long time since I've been here last, and I'm thrilled to be here. So I come from an acting family. You may know my father was an actor, and he too made a movie here much better movie. It starred, you know, that woman, Sophia Loren, and, oh, that guy, Marcello Mastroianni. Ettore Ascoli was the director. It was very successful. And those are big shoes to fill. So I'm doing my best. and, you know, growing up in that family, it sort of became a natural expression for me to pursue. And I am interested in human nature and what makes people do what they do. So exploring these different characters became, it was kind of a natural thing. It's a fascinating journey with each role. So that's what got me into acting, and I still do it. So here I am, and I would love to hear from you guys. If you have any questions, you don't have to be shy. This is Italy, after all. So we're one big familia. I'm going to point to people. Who has a question? Who has a question? The first character I played was on Who's the Boss? No, Family Ties. Do you remember the show Family Ties? Michael J. Fox? Very cute. So it was very cute. Michael J. Fox and his two other friends pretend to be astronauts. And myself and two of my girlfriends are classic California airheads. So we believe that they are astronauts. And Michael J. Fox was supposed to be my boyfriend for the night. And so when I stand up, you know, Michael J. Fox is... That was part of the joke. And that was a lot of fun. And I, yes. Okay, so another question, please. What else? Oh my goodness.
You asked a question.
You did your job. I can't wait to hear what it was. Okay. Okay, so as an actor, there's no... So the question is, how do I approach a science fiction character differently than... Oh, you all speak Italian. I'm sorry. So there's no difference if I play a science fiction character, an axe murderer, a housewife, a trophy wife, a politician, because it's the... It's the person and the circumstances. So the circumstances and the story inform you about who you are and why you are the way you are. And if why you are the way you are isn't written, you have to fill that in. And then it's all about what you want. That's your objective. That's your drive. That's what is driving you. Ellen Tye wanted to be with her husband. She wanted to be important to her husband, but she was very low on his list of priorities. So because of who she is, she went in all different directions to get his attention. Had there been a therapist in space, maybe she wouldn't have caused so much trouble, but there was no therapist, there was just alcohol and other men, so she got his attention by... So there's no difference. It being science fiction, it's fantasy. Battlestar was only a few years in the future, not too in the distant future. So it was very realistic. But I've never been to space before. You know, I had to imagine being up there. You have to imagine being on a ship and having really nothing to do. And it's dangerous when a really intelligent woman, ambitious woman, has nothing to do. Because she's going to create something. So there's no difference in terms of how you approach a world. Unless, let's say, I play a quadriplegic, or which I just did, paraplegic. You learn how to use your body differently, you know, and when you isolate your legs from the rest of your body, it becomes very real and apparent how much you use your body when you talk. I mean, you know, you're Italian, you're constantly talking with your body. You have to stop all of that. So those physical things are fun. And in terms of being a fan, before Battlestar, a sci-fi fan, I wasn't really. I certainly knew about it. My father was very good friends, like best friends with Lorne Greene and John Colicos from the original Battlestar. But they were just, I didn't really watch the show. When I got on to Battlestar, when I started working on Battlestar, it was a beautiful experience, and I opened up to this whole world, you know, sci-fi world. It's fantastic. I love it now. I'm really into it now. So, and I have a real appreciation for it, and a real appreciation for your appreciation. Like, your level of appreciation is fascinating to me. I get a real kick out of it, you know. And without you guys, we wouldn't be here. So, thank you. That's a great question. Yes.
Come set di Star Trek che immaginiamo è molto tecnologico. E poi lei ha conosciuto il signor Spock.
No, ma è proprio un
fatto. No, no, vabbè.
I did Voyager. I did one episode of Voyager.
No, no, no. Okay.
See. Okay, so I didn't work with Leonard Nimoy, but I did get to meet him, and it was in Atlanta at Dragon Con. At Dragon Con, there's, you know, 60 to 80,000 people at Dragon Con, and it was my very first 60 to 80,000 people, not 60 to 80 people. Okay, this is a massive experience and a massive amount of people, and I had no idea what to expect at a convention, and William Shatner was there and Leonard Nimoy were there, and they had lines around the four hotels, like just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in line for them. So I'd never seen anything like this before, and I had said to my handler that I would love to meet with Leonard, but clearly that was going to be impossible. But no, he went to Leonard and whispered something in his ear that I'd like to meet him. And he took out 5 minutes of the signing time, which was very generous because William Shatner wouldn't do that. And Just saying, and you understand. And he was lovely. He was super, super lovely. Oh, they're all translating. Okay. And I did work on the set of Voyager. And, okay, so Voyager has been in production at that point for a long time. And any set that you go to, any show that you go to that's been on the air 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, the crew is well-oiled. They're running the set, basically. You're a guest. You're a nobody. You're a prop. You know, hit your mark, say your line, move on. And if you don't hit your mark and you wreck your line, the crew gets very, very stressful. That didn't really, really happen in that case. They were very, very sweet. But the funny thing about that, at that point, I was not a sci-fi fan. And I'd never watched Voyager. And I had no idea, as an actress, what I was saying. Like, I was speaking about different planets and different people. I was a different species. I was 8472. I was a bug disguised as a human. It was just like, what? So it was... And it was stressful because my dialogue was just informational. It wasn't emotional dialogue. It was technical dialogue. So it was pure memorization. And that's hard for me. It's much easier for me to remember dialogue when it's connected to something emotional. So, yes, yes.
Oh, Axanar?
Okay, so what I've just finished filming is something called Prelude to Axanar. I didn't just finish shooting, it's been a while now. Prelude to Axanar is a documentary style, 20-minute Kickstarter program that looks like a professional piece of film. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of film. The format is as if it was a history documentary, and the people in it, I think there's 5 or 6 of us, then we're the admirals, the lead Klingon, I'm so bad at remembering yes, I'm like, we're the fighter pilots, and we are talking about the 4 years war, the experience after the war, and it's filmed in a historical documentary way, and about this wretched, wretched battle that we had, and it's filmed really beautifully, and we have people from the crew of the Star Trek. We've got the hair and makeup and wardrobe people. We have a lighting person. We have the real quality of Star Trek. And what we've done, it's a huge fan success. And the producer, Alec Peters, started another Kickstarter program and asked, I think, for a couple $100,000, and we've raised over $600,000 for the film. So what we're eventually going to film is the war, is the battle, the 4 years battle. And we're building the sets right now, getting everything organized in Los Angeles, and we're going to probably start filming that in November. See? Jay. Okay, so when you film in the States, America, it's tuck, 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 tuck. It's things pretty much, are wound really tight. there's always things that are going to happen, but the anticipation is that everybody shows up, everybody does their job, everything is scheduled and really, really tight. When I was filming Jackpot, it was fantastic because it was unbelievably relaxed. The beautiful thing about it, I mean, well, forget about the 2-hour lunch, you know, and people drinking wine and just really relaxing, and it's like that would never happen legally in America. But okay, so I really don't speak Italian, and there were French, Italian, English, and German speaking crew people, but it was such a warm environment, and it was so much easier to, I could understand everybody. You know, the intention of everybody was to make a wonderful film. The intention was to have a wonderful time. The quality of the hair and makeup people, like I played an 80-year-old grandmother, and the wig was this beautiful real hair wig. Every piece of clothing that I wore was tailored to my body. You know, it was a fantastic, you know, the style of the Italians, the couture, everything had so much quality and so much value to it. I mean, you just felt like a princess. And it was wonderful. The food on the set was incredible. It was just like, it was a great experience. But the funny thing is when I arrived in Rome, the producers took me out to dinner the very first night, and they started apologizing right away that they have to shut down production for a month because at that point, I don't remember why. And then they said, we could send you home or put you up, pay you per diem, take care of you. And I'm like, I'll stay. So I arrived and had 4 weeks vacation and then started shooting. And then every 2 weeks, Miss Goose, I'm so sorry, we have to shut down. We've run out of money. It's like, all right, here's more per diem. I'd say, see you, I'm going down to Positano. And so the film took 6 months to make. Yeah. That's it's supposed to be 6 weeks, 6 months. So I'd gladly do another Italian movie. Please. So see. Okay? You can have that arranged. Thank you. Okay, okay, my last, so you all know I am the fifth Cylon. That's a big spoiler for any of you who haven't seen it. Deb. The fact that I got to come back as the fifth Cylon was monumental. It was a surprise. And the fact that Michael Hogan and I, that Colonel Ty and I, are the mother and father of the Cylons was so sweet. Our marriage is like the oldest marriage in space. Because we've been together forever. And I don't know. I mean, the question is, it's, you know, how Ellen Tai was just hoping to create peace, ultimately. And to, I don't really know how to answer your question. I don't really understand how to answer the question. What I can answer better is that I had no idea I was coming back as the fifth Cylon. Ron Moore killed me off, and I came back as in dream sequences. I came back in hallucinations, And those, that was all my idea, because I didn't want to die. I was not done playing Ellen Tai. So every 6 weeks or so, I'd call up Ron and I'd say, you know, Ron, is it possible that I could be maybe written in a nightmare, and I could come back and I could torture my husband for making him feel guilty for killing me? And he thought that was a great idea. So every several weeks, I'd go to work and, you know, do my thing, and then I would call Ron again. And I did this for several episodes, and the last time I phoned him up, he stopped me, and I thought, uh-oh, I've gone too far. I've taken advantage. And he said, no, I've pitched a storyline that would feature your character heavily, and we'll know in a week. So a week later, he called me and told me that the studio greenlit his idea, and I didn't know what it was. I just thought, I'm coming back. So when he finally told me that I'm coming back as the fifth Cylon, I thought, for sure. I said, don't frack with me. I'm stuck in traffic right now. Don't frack with me. He goes, I'm not. I said, I'm serious. And he said, no, you're the fifth Cylon. And it was just unbelievable. So he told me the whole story. And I was stuck in traffic for 45 minutes. And then he said, I can't tell anybody. So this is like, you know, a huge secret. And then there was the writer's strike. So everything shut down for 6 months. And then we went back to work and continued working. And then months go by and they released the first 6 episodes, but not the cliffhanger where it tells everybody that I am the fifth Cylon. And then we shot the last 6 episodes, but I couldn't tell anybody that I was the fifth Cylon until those episodes were released. So I had to sit on my secret for 2 years. Due anni. Zip. Nothing. And it was really, you know, I forgot for a while that I was the fifth Cylon. I was like, I don't give a shit. Mad about it. So it was a big, 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 big deal when I finally did come out as the fifth Cylon. And I'll tell you another story. There was so much pressure on me because I was the fifth. Anybody who was chosen to be the fifth was going to be loved and hated because everybody had their favorite. So it'd be like, oh no, or yes, I knew it. So I was very, very, very nervous, and I was actually having a bit of an attack in my trailer, like, I don't know what to do, I can't do this, you know. And I went into Michael Hogan's trailer, tears, the whole thing, and he just looked at me like I was an idiot, you know, like su pazza. He goes, you're Ellen Tai. You can't make a wrong choice. And it was just such a gift an actor gave another actor. Because I've played her for, you know, 3-4 years. And of course I'm Ellen Tai. And it was just a thank you, you know. And then I was able to go and start working that massive episode with Dean Stockwell. You know, that one was a big one. So it was good. I had a fantastic experience on that show. It was my most enjoyable character because I got to play everything. You know, she was manipulative, she was smart, she was conniving, she was very sexual, she was silly, very immature, powerful, vulnerable. I got to play so many facets of what it is to be a human being. Cylon. A human Cylon. So, another question? Sì?
Ogni attore sicura un viaggio, come ha detto lei, attraverso il personaggio. E c'è la serie televisiva, la serie comunque da un personaggio deve rimanere costante nel tempo. Perciò non è semplice dare un contributo personale attingendo da quello che
That's a really good question. And I mean, because Ellen Tai was so multifaceted, I got to... I said that was a really good question. And and because Ellen Tai was so multifaceted, I got to, she, the character, allowed me to explore me. So Ellen Tai is way more out there than I am. She walks into a room and says, ha, you know, I don't. It's so interesting doing it this way. Aw. No, I'm quiet. I'm much more quiet than Ellen Tai. Ellen wants to be... She really wants to be looked at all the time. I don't. I like it when it happens, but not all the time. So she made me more brave. You know, her behavior is much more extroverted than me. So it was a lot of fun and sometimes a little scary to be so bawdy. That's the joy. Yeah, the character, it's like, for me, Ellen Tai was a joy to play. She was a joy. I've also played axe murderers and psychos and, you know, things, you know, those aren't a joy for me, but they're very interesting to go to darker places. We're human beings. We have everything in us. If we choose to explore these facets. And as an actor, it's my job just to do the most truthful job portraying that aspect of someone's personality. But I'm not a method actor. I don't carry it with me. I don't like to carry the work with me. When I'm done, I'm done. Okay, good. Okay. But it's not... Well, and that's interesting too, because I miss playing her. Like, as an actress, I miss that character. You know? So, she was fun. She was delicious. You know, she was like a poisonous flower that just said, come here, smell me. You know, and the closer you get, the more intoxicated you become, and then you're in trouble, and then she devours you. And that's so much fun to play, that kind of power, you know. And for me, that's it's fun to explore that, because I don't walk around, I don't do that in real life. I should try it though. So okay, yes. Which character I played in Malcolm X? I played Sophia, and Sophia was Malcolm's lover. She was married, and she was his lover before he was arrested and jailed, and then that's when he discovered the Muslim religion. And so my character shows up in the first third of the movie when when it was a pretty hot time in Harlem. Sì?
Oh, which literary character would like to play?
Oh, gosh. That's such a big question. There are so many. I would love to play a queen. I just would love to play a queen. I'd like to play a fairy queen. That would be fun, like in The Hobbit or something. I haven't thought about that in a long time, but I don't know. Who do you think I should play? Oh, well, yeah, well, Ellen Tye was based on Lady Macbeth. Yeah. Yes. 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 There, I really, really enjoy The Good Wife. I enjoy, oh, I'm forgetting all of the, like, there's wonderful TV shows on right now. Deb, what are some great TV shows right now? Nashville, thank you. I would like to play a country singer. I can't sing, but I'd like to play a country singer. Nashville. I don't like playing lawyers per se because of all of the language. I don't like lawyers and doctors, but I would actually do anything with Shonda Rhimes. She's amazing. Scandal. I mean, that's all political, but it's not just politically driven. That's the reason why that show and these shows are all so good, is they're relationship driven. So that's why Battlestar was so good. It was all relationship. It was a giant love story. So, yes, yes. I'm in between projects, as we say. I have a movie coming out called The Summerland Project, where I play a neuroscientist. We just filmed that last summer, and I'm a wheelchair-bound neuroscientist. This is where I didn't get to use my legs, where I realized how much I talk with my legs. So that was very interesting. And my character is a brilliant woman who has discovered the technology to harness a dying person's consciousness. This will sound a little bit like Cylon. Harness a dying person's consciousness, map that brain, map that information, download that information into a computer brain, put the computer brain with this actual human consciousness into a biosynthetic flesh body robot, therefore creating everlasting life. And the beautiful thing about this is, like, this technology is this far away from happening. Like, the information we used in this movie is basically happening in quiet laboratories that are privately funded, and it's all happening. So it begs the question, the moral and ethical question of, is this the right thing? You know, should we mess with human beings? Should we try to create a robot that looks just like your wife who's died, but it's really a robot that you need to reboot every now and then, you know, unplug her, plug her in? It's out there. But it should be a really beautiful little movie. It's an independent movie. And with a really, really fun cast. Good cast. Sì. Yes. Yeah, I would love to get on stage. I'm doing a, I've a friend of mine is a really wonderful writer, and he's written several plays. Two of them he wrote parts for me. We did a financier's reading. We got the money to produce the play, but that's when Ron invited me back to be the fifth Cylon. So I was like, okay, I can't do it. But that was like a big, crazy comedy, dark comedy, fun. And the next one, we're doing a financier's reading April 13th when I get back. Again, it's dark and twisted. So, and yeah, because theater, I mean, it's immediate. You know, it's very, very interesting to do theater. It's good. Yes. I'd have to look at my resume. Like I told you, when I'm done, I'm done. What was your favorite? Aside from Ellen Time, right? I've been doing this for 25 years, so Ellen Tai was the most memorable. It's also the longest character I had, you know. But I'm sure, I'm sure. I liked playing Sophia in Malcolm X. But I can't think of any. I'm probably the only actress in the world. He's like, I don't know. Okay, another question? See? Oh, on Battlestar, nobody. No. That was a great group of people. That was a joy. The best. Well, all my work was with Michael Hogan. You know, most of my work was with Hogan, and Eddie. And Eddie directed my first episode, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down. So that was fantastic because we spent all day on one scene, and that never, ever, ever happens. And he kept throwing the producers out of the room when they'd walk in and point to their clocks, and he'd say, get out of here. And because of that, you know, the dinner scene where, you know, what I'm talking about, that's the scene that was my first scene, and that took all day to shoot. And at that point, I was only going to do two or three episodes. That's it. I didn't have a contract. I didn't know that they would invite me back for more. But because Eddie took so much time really indulging me and allowing me to play, the seeds were planted in Ellen Tai's character, because I was mischievous, I was sexual, I was cunning, you know, like all these elements were born in that scene. And that's when the writers went, okay, she's gonna walk into a room and make everybody nervous. Let's keep her. And so because Eddie indulged me, I got to come back. Yeah. Italian films? Oh. Yes. So many. Anything with Marcello Mastroianni or Sophia Loren. Who is the fantastic... Fellini, yeah, this is, thank you. Fellini. Yeah. what are the filmmakers? There are so many brilliant, wonderful, beautiful filmmakers, Italian filmmakers. Yes, Alex.
Come siamo fantascienza, oggi ci sono le tecniche. lavorare anche con attori che non ci sono più. Abbiamo visto un film con Humphrey Bogart e Marilyn Monroe, che mi sembra non abbiano mai lavorato insieme. Con chi le piacerebbe lavorare nel passato?
It is so weird that you're talking to me in Italian right now. No, what did you say? Okay.
Right.
Well, it'd be interesting to work with my father. That would be kind of interesting. I have, but we did three movies together, three Canadian movies together, but we didn't have a dialogue. We were actually in the same scenes, but we didn't have dialogue. So I'd like to bring him back, work with him. I would like to work with Elvis Presley. I know that's not a but I would definitely like to work with Elvis Presley. Whenever I'm put on the spot, I can never think of people, places, names, or anything. Paul Newman. I'd like to work with Paul Newman. Steve McQueen. Well, all of them, probably. You know, it's rare. It's rare that an actor is ever really satisfied. You know, there's always something. Could have said it a little bit like this. It's a love-hate relationship. It's like, yes, that was good. Yeah, I could have done a little. It could have been a... And then other times it's like, leave it alone. But all of them, overall. Yes. Right. Yeah. Simone Signoret. Love. Natalie Wood. Jessica Lange has just a magical thing about her. And Meryl Streep. You know, of course. Right, I mean, she's such a chameleon. But, yeah, I loved watching Simone Signoret when I was young. She was just so interesting and, you know, very a mix of real femininity and tough, you know, groundedness. And she was, like, right there, no apologies. Yes.
Suo padre conosceva bene molti degli attori della serie originale di Battlestar Galactica, mentre lei non l'aveva mai guardata prima. Dopo che gli hanno dato proprio di Ellen Time, ha guardato qualche episodio della serie classica e qual è stata la sua reazione, viste le numerose differenze?
Between them on TV and them in... Oh, okay. My father was... His dear friends were John Colicos and Lorne Green. And they were horseback riding buddies. They were, you know, they'd go drinking and horseback riding, and then they'd go to Mexico to dry out.
And Dad's gone to Mexico again. Okay. As a child, I'd never watched. I knew about the show Battlestar Galactica, but I didn't watch it. And there's a huge difference between the original and the reimagined. Huge. There's, there's no comparison. They're two special, very differently produced. The new one?
The new one.
Oh, okay. So my reaction, it was like, wow, classic 70s science fiction. very 70s. It's fun. It's kitsch. It's, and I don't mean any disrespect. It's just very different than our show.
I don't know, maybe you didn't say, my husband is now is black.
Oh, that whole thing, right, and Apollo is, Starbuck is a guy? No. No. I knew because when we first started filming, the original fans from the original Battlestar were really upset. They did not want, there were some horrible threats made to the producers and cast members and horrible, horrible stuff. So talk about pressure, and, some of the original fans still haven't crossed over, the majority have, and whatever. I mean, there's room for everybody, but... Okay, one last question. Okay. Yeah, Deb, don't you have a question for me?
You are the answer to them on the long flight here.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Molto grazie. Grazie molto.